Canto 9, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Amshuman. Sri Shuka said, Amshuman, for a long time doing penance with a desire to bring down the Ganges, was unsuccessful and died in due course of time. His son Dilipa did, just like his father, not succeed and was also defeated by time. Thereafter, Dilipa's son Bhagiratha performed severe austerities. The goddess, Mother Ganga, appeared to him and said, I am very pleased with you and will answer your prayers. With that being said, seeing his purpose served that the Ganges would wash away the ashes, the king bowed down. Mother Ganga proceeded. Who can sustain the force of my waves when I descend upon this earth? O Master of Men, not being sustained, I will split her open and land in Rasatala, the lower worlds. There is another reason I cannot move towards the earth. Please consider this, O King. When I have to wash away the sins of the people who purify themselves with my water, to whom should I turn with those sins? Sri Bhagiratha said, The saintly forsakers of the world, who are peaceful and expert in the regulative principles and purify all the world, will take away the sinfulness you thus accumulate because they, as they bathe in your water, carry within themselves the vanquisher of all sins, the Lord. The god of destruction, Rudra, will sustain your force, for he is of all the embodied beings the self in which, or with which, like with the threads of a piece of cloth, the entire length and width of the universe is interwoven. After this was said, the ruler propitiated the godhead with his penances. This did not take very long. Very soon, O king, Lord Shiva became satisfied with him. So be it, Lord Shiva said, who is always auspicious to all. Having been addressed by the king, he then, with great attention, took upon him the burden of the Ganges water that is pure because of Vishnu's feet. He, Bhagiratha, the saintly king, brought her who could purify the entire universe to the place where the bodies of his forefathers were reduced to ashes. Leading the way in a chariot, moving at the speed of the wind, he was followed by her. She thus blessed all the countries they passed, until she flowed over the burnt sons of Sagara. Even though the sons of Sagara were condemned for having offended a Brahmin, they, by her water just touching their remains, went to heaven. If Sagara's sons, whose bodies burnt to ashes, went to heaven after they came in touch with the Ganges, then what would her effect be upon those who, determined in vows, with faith and devotion, worship that goddess? What was described here is not such a great miracle, for the water of the Ganges, which originates from the feet of Ananta Deva, puts an end to a worldly existence. Saintly people, who by their faith have minds that follow the path of goodness, find purification despite the difficulty to escape from the three modes of nature. They attain the divine self immediately. From the loins of Bhagiratha, a son was born named Shruta. From him there was Naba, different from the one I mentioned before, and from Naba, Sindhu Dvipa was born, from whom thereafter Ayutthaya was born. His son Rituparna was a friend of Nala. He received from Nala knowledge about the art of training horses in exchange for gambling secrets. Rituparna had a son called Sarvakama. From him there was Sudasa, whose son Saudasa ascended the throne as the husband of Damayanti. He was also known, someone says, as Mitrasaha and Kalmashapada. Because of his bad karma, he had no children. One day, he was cursed by Vashishtha to become a man-eater, a rakshasa. The king said, Please tell me, if it is not a secret, for what reason the spiritual master cursed this great soul Saudasa. That is what I would like to know. Sri Shuka said. In the past, Saudasa one day wandered around and killed a Rakshasa, but he let his brother go. This brother wanted revenge. With evil intentions, posing as the king's cook, he presented his spiritual master, Vasishtha, who came to dinner, the flesh of a human being that he had cooked. The mighty master, checking his food, immediately found it unfit for consumption and most angrily cursed the king with, "Because of this, you will become a man-eater." When the sage discovered that the Rakshasa was to blame, he for 12 years performed penance for having unjustly cursed the king. Saudasa had taken a palm full of water in order to curse his guru, but his wife, Madayanti, prevented it. He then spilled the water that was potent with the Shapa mantra over his legs, whereupon the king saw that all directions, the sky and the surface of the earth, were teeming with living beings. After he had developed the propensities of a Rakshasa, he obtained a black spot on his leg, because of which he was known as Kalmashapana. Living in the forest, he once saw a Brahmin couple having sexual intercourse. Because he was hungry, he seized the Brahmin, whereupon his wife said, "You must be very unhappy, poor and hungry indeed, but a Rakshasa you are not. You are actually a great warrior from the Ikshvaku dynasty, the husband of Madayanti. O hero, it does not become you to act against the Dharma. Please release my husband, this twice-born soul whose desire to get a son has not yet been fulfilled. O king, this human body is there to serve the completeness of the Supreme Being. This scene, the killing of him, O hero, would equal the destruction of all that virtue. This man is a Brahmana well-versed in the Veda who, austere, of good behavior, and endowed with all good qualities, wants to worship the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality, who, because of his attributes, is known as the True Self in the heart of all living beings. How can he, this Brahmin and best of all sages, deserve it to be killed by you with your knowledge of the Dharma, by you, who are the best of all saintly kings, O Master of the State? It is like a father killing his son. He is a saint free from sin, a speaker of the Absolute Truth. How can you, who are appreciated in the highest circles, have the heart to kill him? That is tantamount to killing an unborn child or a cow. I am mortified. I cannot live without him for a second. If you want to eat him, then eat me instead." While she was pleading and lamenting despicably, as a woman missing her protector, he, Saudasa, condemned by the curse, devoured him like a tiger does its prey. The moment the wife of the Brahmana, the chaste woman, saw that the man who was about to impregnate her was eaten by the Rakshasa, she cried loudly from the depth of her heart and pronounced angrily a curse against the king. "Because you have devoured the husband of a woman aching for intercourse, you, O sinner, will suffer the curse of also finding death when you try to impregnate a woman, you traitor of civilization." After this way cursing Mitrasaha, indulgent toward friends, or Saudasa, she, being devoted to be with her husband, found her destination by stepping into the fire that burned the bones of her husband. When Saudasa, 12 years later, was released from the curse of Vasishtha and tried to make love to his wife, he was checked by the queen, who reminded him of the curse of the Brahmani. Thus, he henceforward had to forget about being physically happy with his wife and, as ordained by faith, therefore remained childless. Vasishtha then got the permission to beget a child in Madayanti, his wife. She, not delivering, carried the child for 7 years in her womb. With Vasishtha striking her abdomen with a stone, a son was born who for that reason was called Ashmaka, by a stone. From Ashmaka, Balika was born. This child was protected against Lord Parashurama by a human shield consisting of women and was named thereafter Narika Vacha. when there were no rulers anymore because Lord Parashurama had killed them all, he became known as Mulaka, the root of, the progenitor of the Kshatriyas. From Balika, there was a son named Dasharatha. His son was Aidavidi, and from him there was King Vishwasaha, who fathered Katvanga, who became emperor. On the request of the demigods, he most fiercely killed the Daityas in battle, after which he, coming home and knowing that he had only a second to live longer, fixed his mind by praying, "Neither the earth, my kingdom, nor my dearest wife, neither my sons and daughters, nor my opulence or life, are as worshipable to me as the members of the Brahmin community who enjoy the respect of my family. Not even as a child I was attracted or enjoying that what goes against the Dharma, nor did I at any time consider anything or anybody else as being more substantial than the Lord hailed in the scriptures, Uttama Shloka. The demigods granted me the boon that I could have whatever I wanted, but that claim over the three worlds I could not accept. All that I desire in this world is to be fully absorbed in the Supreme Lord. The godly souls are, by their senses and minds, distracted because of the modes, and do not know the dearmost eternal one of the soul who always resides in their hearts. What then is to be expected of others? Let me therefore surrender myself to him, the one soul who created the universe, and in loving service give up my attachment to matters brought about by these so very powerful material modes, matters that are like Gandharva towns, or castles in the air." Thus, being determined by an intelligence firmly in the grip of Narayana, he gave up all his ignorant on different matters founded love and thus became situated in his original position of loving service. That what is known as the Supreme Brahman that defies all description is not something impersonal or empty, as one might think. It is the Supreme Lord Vasudeva about whom the devotees are singing.